your hand on my shoulder, telling me we'll be okay. And I just can't see how that could be true, that could be honest, when it just doesn't seem.
Is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
And welcome to Spouting Off. Hopefully I am being heard now. We had a little technical difficulty, so we started a little bit late, but I am delighted to be here. And that's what live talk radio is all about. And you'll get to hear the entire podcast rebroadcast all over the place because it just gets rebroadcast. I'm going to jump right in here because we have a packed show for you, including the wonderful Sheriff Steve Reams from Weld County, Colorado. The ACLU is suing him on behalf of six of his inmates. Simply, the reason given is that he didn't do enough to prevent COVID-19. Can you imagine? It's too funny for words. he's going to give us an update on that. Now, my guess, my question to him is going to be, just as a heads up, you know, they didn't blame Andrew Cuomo for having 40% of the deaths in New York State and New York City, all the rest. No, they want to run him for president instead of the budding Alzheimer's patient, Joe Biden. So go figure. It's all selective outrage. I just wrote my last piece about that selective outrage. You know, justice is no longer blind, but we need to return the blindfold to blind justice and take it off her mouth. Okay, but there is an issue at hand, and I am jazzed to talk to you about it, honored to talk to you about it. This just happened in earnest this morning. Now, there is a genuinely grassroots effort popping up in the state of Colorado and suitable for spreading like a good virus all over this country. I am not the leader of it. I'm simply doing my part. In fact, there is no real leader of it. Greg Lopez, a candidate for governor in 2022, came up with a good idea, and people are taking that idea, running with it, adding, doing what they need to do to make it fit their needs. The point is that Michigan stepped up. Just in time, Michigan stepped up because they have one of the most egregious governors in the country. But there's a lot of egregious governors in the country who never met a piece of bad news they didn't like. They ignore the facts on the ground. Yes, coronavirus is killing people. Yes, it's good to do something about it and to protect people who are vulnerable, just like we do with the flu. But when you use that in an election year to clamp down on people's God-given liberties, which is what's being done in an election year, and it will backfire, I promise you that, then you have a whole nother story going on. And people know this. Not everybody. We don't all march in lockstep. Lockstep. We don't all march in lockstep. That's for the Democrats to do. So when Michigan stepped up and had a gridlock event, libertarians stepped up in Colorado and other states around the country, and decided we need one of those here. So free people, and this is the key to all of it, free people do not ask permission from their government to save their businesses and save their country. We elected them. They are not our betters. They are not our dictators. And they are not our totalitarians. We live in a country that was created to prevent that sort of thing. When a dictator or an authoritarian starts dictating which businesses will be deemed essential and which businesses are not, and if you've been reading my op-eds and blog posts at KarenCataline.com, you know that I write a lot about that. This is why we don't allow This is why we believe our rights are from God, not from men, because men always, always use things to their own benefit and advantage. The Democrats are using this to bludgeon people to death and to advance their agenda. I don't think it's going to work. I think it's going to backfire like so many other things. And we'll talk to Steve Reams about that. So there's a flyer and a website that can be piggybacked on these gridlock events or anything you want. It's printed, and all you got to do is go to a website, www.mayday-colorado.com. If you're outside of Colorado, you can use this flyer, tweak it as you see fit, and it is a flyer both for people with businesses and people who want to print them out, hand them out to anyone and everyone, businesses included. All businesses are suffering. People have been well-behaved. They've complied. They've been reasonable. And they are still concerned about coronavirus. And they will be responsible. If they're not, guess what? Life has a way of handing you consequences. But after false numbers, extraordinary hubris, fear-mongering, and the abuse of power, they have people, liberty lovers, like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, realize that they had the power all along to take back their liberty. They just didn't know it. Pause for dramatic effect. There is a resurgence of liberty in this country, and it's going to be celebrated on May Day, May 1st, which is dun, 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 the former socialist holiday. Is that beautiful or what? May 1st used to be the domain of the communists, the socialists. May Day, workers of the world unite. Well, guess what? Workers are people that want to go back to work, and they're individuals, and they're sovereign in their own lives. They don't need the government telling them what to do, how to behave, how to run their business, or whether they're allowed to open or close their business. And I've said many times, if this were the bubonic plague, you wouldn't have to fearmonger to get people to behave and to get people to roll over. You just wouldn't need to, because people's lives would be at stake. Now there's a lot of people that are terrified, terrified. And yet, Governor of Colorado, Jared Polis, and his lefty monopoly of power under the Gold Dome in Denver, it took him a half an hour in one of his numerous press conferences to just tell people, oh, you know, while I'm giving you all this motherly advice, 9 out of 10 people will not need any medical treatment at all. In fact, not even an aspirin. And so you hear that and you go, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? 9 out of 10 people will not have a symptom, and you want to scare the hell out of people by telling healthy, law-abiding citizens to stay home? Meanwhile, you're emptying the prisons to make room for law-abiding citizens so prisoners, rapists, and murderers, and people who've been convicted of a crime can roam the streets and terrify and terrorize citizens. And you want us to believe you are the good guys? You want us to believe that you have compassion for life and liberty and limb? Please. People are figuring it out, and they're figuring it out in big numbers. There's a resurgence of liberty in this country, and it's going to be celebrated May Day, May 1st, the former socialist holiday. All you got to do is go to www.maydaycolorado.com. It's not just for Colorado. It's for all the people who want to start a movement with either the gridlock event or anything else. Give out these flyers, and what it basically says is, we're opening May 1st, and we don't need your permission. We will take precautions, but we're opening our business May 1st. And we welcome back all our customers, because that's our business, not yours. Remember, you didn't build that, right? Socialist stupid mantra. So download, print, share, and repeat the flyer. Make it your own. The flyer is suitable for tweaking. For any states and all occasions, I want to give a shout out to K-Star Radio Network, who broadcast this show live. Apologies for the little fits and starts today. We'll have that all fixed on the podcast so that you can Play that show, 9 o'clock tomorrow on K-Star Radio Network. Also, many thanks to Main Street Radio Network, another satellite network on which I fill in for the great Alan Nathan. So I've been busier than ever, and I'm blessed beyond reason. Mayday, Mayday, Mayday is a cry for help. Small businesses, the economy, and liberty are dying in this country. We have one president who has not been offered any help by anybody but the grassroots, because the left not only wants to see him fail, they want to see America fail. They're loving this. Every Democrat, no. The progressives, the socialists, the hard left, they all want to see America fail because they don't believe in freedom. We're finding out that there are hairstylists and waitresses. Think of the waitresses. There is not one waitress working in states that are shut down, in states where restaurants are shut down. Not one waitress. And the left believes in freedom, taking care of the little guy. Well, guess what? Small businesses are little guys, and so are waitresses and truckers and people who work in the oil and gas business and people who make this country run. Small businesses are the ones that hire people and give them jobs. And liberty and the economy and small business is dying in this country. Mayday is a cry for help, and help is on the way. Help is on the way. So www.mayday-colorado.com. Find that flyer and print it out. Use it as you see fit. And we're probably going to have to take a break, right, Mr. Producer? I'm not sure, since we got started a little late, but we're going to take a break. Oh, we don't have to take a break yet, because we have a full show for you. That is great. Okay, so we have a break in 2 minutes. If you'd like to join the show and tell me what you're doing to further freedom, and by the way, if people are scared, they don't want to open their business, they don't want to participate, we have respect for people's liberty and freedom. We don't tell people what to do. We try to persuade them. We ask them. We maybe even try to cajole them. But we don't use the power of government, the power of threats and bullying and fines and the threat of imprisonment to get people to do what we want. That's the purview of dictators, authoritarians, and totalitarians. We're taking our country back, and Mayday. And this is, we started this on tax day, April 15th. And so we're giving governors their two-week notice. All right. When we come back, we'll have a whole lot more on Spouting Off. 888-627-6008. We look forward to hearing from you. Looks like we already have a caller on the line. So I'm delighted about that. This is Karen Cataline, your host of Spouting Off. It is my honor, it is my pleasure to be your host of Spouting Off. You take care. I'm not leaving. We're going to just leave for a commercial break. I'm so riled up, I don't know what I'm even saying. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with our caller right after this.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
And welcome back. It's Karen Cataline with Spouting Off. We're glad you're with us. Well, we have a caller. Welcome to Spouting Off, caller. Tell me what your name is.
I'm Dr. Tashoff Burnton.
Tash Burnton. Oh, my goodness. I haven't talked to you in ages, except I did get a chance to talk to you this morning. But I haven't talked to you in such a long time. I've known you from the Jewish Republicans. And you are a physician. I know that. What is your practice? What is your practice of medicine?
I'm boarded in two areas, in occupational medicine, which is a subspecialty of preventive medicine, and also internal medicine. A lot of the work I do is in musculoskeletal work and chronic pain.
Wow, that's perfect. Well, what are you thinking about all of this, and what's your contribution to this massive countrywide, worldwide experience we're going through with coronavirus?
Well, I think that one can give credit for good intentions on the front end. In other words, people were legitimately terrified of the virus and what it could do, and were given models, which I think we're getting more and more evidence were based on faulty data. I mean, the best data they had at the time, but data that in retrospect wasn't accurate. And as a result, we put in some really drastic measures. And the thing that gets lost in that with the stay-at-home and the economic shutdowns is that the purpose of those was not actually to decrease the number of people that were killed by the disease. These are difficult concepts to talk about, but I think we have to. But everybody remembers the phrase flattening the curve. What does that mean? That means that you had the same number of people ultimately who had bad outcomes or who were hospitalized and died, but they didn't all happen at the same time, so the healthcare system wouldn't be overwhelmed. And that was the basis for all of the shutdown, so we don't overwhelm the healthcare system. Well, it turns out that we never were close to overwhelming the healthcare system, with the exception of some areas like New York, you know, some of the hot spots, New York, Louisiana, but certainly in Colorado,
workers,
we were never
healthcare
never
workers
close.
Are getting laid off.
Yeah,
they've gotten
what's
rid
happened
of all
is
the
that,
elective surgeries, and now nurses aren't even working like the rest of us.
I know, it's crazy, because what happened is they said, well, in order to conserve protective garments, because we don't have enough of those, and also to make sure that we got enough capacity to deal with all these patients with the virus, we're going to stop all elective procedures. And as a result, what's happened is hospitals are standing with very low census. The hospitals are going broke, the docs are going broke, or the staff is going broke and being laid off. And the total number, to give you an idea how far off we were, on April 2nd, the governor wrote a letter to the feds saying we need 10,000 additional ventilators in Colorado. That's additional ventilators, because we're going to need all these for the COVID patients. And I presume he believed that. Well, that, and by the way, that was almost the entire amount that was in the national stockpile, so it's a good thing that they weren't sent. And what's actually happened since then, that was only, 15 days ago? And now the total number of hospitalizations, not even intubations or ICU or need for ventilators, has been 2,000. Fewer people than that have gone into the ICU. Fewer people than that have needed ventilators. We were off by at least an order of magnitude. And our capacity.
So let me ask you a question, Doc.
Sure.
Let me ask you a question, because this is really important. And you know how fast stuff goes in talk radio. It's like, I'm going to have you back as a guest. That would be just great. And then we'll talk about that maybe even next week. We'll see where things go with this May Day Colorado event. So to what do you attribute, this is a tough political question, I know you're conservative, but you're a doc, you know, to what do you attribute the unwillingness of politicians and unelected bureaucrats to ignore the facts on the ground that everybody, including a layman person like myself and a doctor like you, are watching and know to be true?
That's That's a tough question, and obviously you're going beyond the medical side and into the other. But I'll tell you, I think it's a couple things. One is people in general are loath to admit error, and that's a hard thing to do. And
especially doctors
and
think they're
most
God,
thing
and,
would be
and
that.
Politicians who think they're God. Go ahead.
Yeah, politician even more so. And then the second part is, and I think this is subtle, but it's there. It's not just the governor. It's like the head of the health department and everybody. All of a sudden, they're in the center of the universe when these things are going on. And when we back off from that, they're no longer in the center of the universe. And then there is just power. People have enormous power over our lives right now, or they've taken it. And, you know, it's hard to give that up. And I think the thing that's most important to recognize is the reason that the shutdown was put in place is no longer there. But new conditions have been imposed now, kind of mission creep. In other words, first it was so we don't overwhelm our hospitals. But now people want to say, well, until we have the best technology around so we can trace every contact, you can't leave your home. That's not the reason that this shutdown was put in.
You're more generous than I am about motive, because you're talking about people who are, many of whom are committed leftists, committed Democrats. You know that we lived before all this happened in a highly political environment. We know that Dr. Fauci has given money to Hillary Clinton and, you know, and the whole WHO and all of that. So, well, I don't put everybody in the same bucket. Whenever somebody is unwilling, when they're willing to push a narrative that doesn't comport with the facts on the ground, sort of like the Ferguson incident, Michael Brown, on and on, the left has continually pushed narratives in order to stir crisis, chaos, and fear. And you just, you know, that's what I do for a living, so obviously I'm going to look at it in a political sense. But I have to tell you, I've talked to a lot of doctors who are conservative ideologically, and they can't get out of their own way to see how corrupt this is, because they took a Hippocratic oath to take care of people. And they don't see that it isn't just about medicine. I mean, I just looked at statistics here that said we have more deaths from traffic accidents nationwide than we do from the coronavirus nationwide. We've had more deaths from influenza with the same population nationwide than we have had from coronavirus. And
well,
yet the left
is
stubbornly.
I do know that physicians are not trained to make the, and nor are epidemiologists, trained to make the judgments that we're making as a society now. And one of the things that frustrates me is the tendency to say, oh, well, give it to the experts. Well, the experts, as a doc, I'm trained to do everything I can to help and save my patient. And that's what you want. That's what you want me trained to do, and that's what you want my orientation. But that means I don't, in a question like this, you ask me how can I keep people safest, I'll tell you. But I'm not trained to look at the economic consequences, the suicide.
Give up your car. Never leave your house.
All of the negative consequences, and the negative consequences are much worse than the problem we're fighting now.
Yes, and you know what, Doc? I love that, because I've always been fond of the term iatrogenic disease. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, sure. That's the disease that you get the doctor
caused from. It's caused, well, not the doctor, but it's caused from the
medical
prescription.
Treatment.
It's caused from the remedy. And it's a lot of people who go into the hospital and get a disease from sick people in a hospital, or the operation was a success, but the patient died, that kind of thing. And
sure, there's a whole bunch of those.
Yeah. And some of them can't be helped. Some of them are being done by very evil global socialists who really want to bring this country down. How about that for a radical point of view? Not all of them, but a lot of them. Do you think this would be happening in an election year? I doubt it.
Well, I mean, I honestly can't go as far as you do on the political side. And it's, I'm not saying you're wrong. It's just I don't have that information. Right. But I do know that what I'm seeing doesn't make sense from the medical standpoint, because people are now moving the goalpost and asking this shutdown and giving us conditions to to basically leave house arrest in our homes that are not the ones that they set out in the first place. And if this shutdown is prolonged, much more damage than good will be done. I'm not saying that, you know, everything goes back to normal immediately. The kinds of things that were talked about with gradual return in terms of still large gatherings, stay away from those for a while, use masks, et cetera. But we need to get out of our homes and we need to get our work started again. We will do more harm, and we need to let our doctors go back and treat people. We're not doing cancer surveillance. We're not doing all the other things we do to keep people healthy.
And I'll have to leave it there, but as a social worker, I knew from the moment these broad-based, ridiculous, you know, countrywide shutdowns and keeping people in their homes, people with domestic violence issues, people with substance and drug and alcohol issues, suicides are way up 100%. This is the most heartless, cold, and cruel thing you can do, is take people's freedom and individual choice away. And that's been what I rant about constantly. So, Dr. Tash Burton, old friend, wonderful to hear from you. I will have to have you on as a medical expert. We can talk more about this, hopefully, when we get our freedom back. And we can talk about, you know, giving advice to adults who make these decisions on their own and take the consequences. So there you go.
Great to talk with you.
Well, it is great to talk with you as well. Thanks for joining us. We have a couple more minutes, I believe, and we have our guest on the line. I'm going to just wait until after the break. I think, because we're a little bit, a few minutes off our clock normally, like you need to know that. That's behind the scenes stuff. We have just a few minutes. I want to finish so that you know what we're up to, and then I cannot wait. Oh, Steve Reams. Steve, I'm going to introduce you after the break, and I'm going to get Steve Reams's not only the update about his being sued by the ACLU, but also about this new movement, the MaydayColorado.com movement. If you haven't heard about it or you didn't hear the beginning of the program, go to www.mayday-colorado.com. And even if you're outside of Colorado, you can take that flyer. It's suitable for printing, for handing out at gridlock events. Wherever you are, you can hand out that event, that flyer, and it is meant both for people who have businesses and those who support people who have businesses, live in families that work in small businesses, and you post that on your window at your business, and it says, we're opening May 1st, and we don't need your permission. It is an act, yes, of some civil disobedience, nonviolent disobedience, but we are on solid constitutional ground here. On solid constitutional ground. It was not constitutional for governors to dictate that people not only go on house arrest but close their businesses, particularly when they were selective. They get to choose who gets to open and who has to go bankrupt. So there is so much to talk about, and a great resource is our next guest that we'll have, Sheriff Steve Reams, after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to Spouting Off, and I'm your host, Karen Cataloon. I didn't even say my own name right. Karen Cataloon is my name, and we'll be right back after this. This is Karen Cataloon. Are you unsure if your current Medicare plan is still the best one for you? The annual enrollment period is right around the corner. This is the best time of year to review your plan and learn what's new. Anita McAllister is a licensed agent who will guide you through the confusing Medicare maze. Since 2011, she has helped many individuals and couples obtain Medicare peace of mind. Call her today at 970-515-6882 to set up a no-obligation, no-cost appointment. That's 970 515-688-6882 for Anita McAllister. Welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline, and I am pleased to have with us Sheriff Steve Reams. He is the Weld County Sheriff. That's Sheriff of Weld County, Colorado. He's worked in the Weld County Sheriff's Office since 1997. And Steve Reams, Sheriff Reams, oversees over 350 employees between patrol, detentions, courts, volunteer divisions of the Weld County Sheriff's Office. He became nationally known when he spoke up against the egregious and ridiculous red flag bill that was passed in Colorado and several other states around the country and said he'd go to his own jail before he'd enforce such laws. That's the kind of resistance I'm talking about. Welcome, Sheriff Steve Reams, to Spouting Off.
Thanks for having me on, Karen. This is fun.
It's always fun to have you, Sheriff, because if we could clone you and have many more sheriffs with your appreciation for the oath you took for freedom, we'd be even in better shape. So this story made some news, and that was Colorado Public Radio reported, and I think this story made national news, that the ACLU sued you for failure to prevent coronavirus outbreak in your county jail. And apparently six of your inmates are represented by the ACLU. What's happened since the last I talked to you about this case?
Well, so the ACLU was filing a temporary restraining order against me initially and also trying to get a permanent injunction against me. To make me social distance my inmates from one another. Since we last spoke, the ACLU has withdrawn their request for a temporary restraining order, and now they're moving straight forward for an injunction. It appears that our legal team or my legal team and the ACLU's back and forth made it unwise for them to continue on with the attempt to get the temporary restraining order. That's a little harder to do in a short amount of time. So I guess they're going to go for the big swing now and try to get a permanent injunction saying how I'm to run my jail as dictated by a federal judge.
How do you like that? So what so a permanent injunction is going to dictate to you how to run your jail, just like leftists are trying to tell people how to run their business? What would it do if they were able to get such a ridiculous thing as that?
Well, I think that injunction would only be applicable to the times of, coronavirus being a known contagion. But if they were successful, essentially what it would do is force me to go to a judge and provide a judge with a list of names of people who I believe were compromised in their immune system based on the criteria that the ACLU has outlined, which simply say, in simple terms, is most everyone in my jail would fit their category as some kind of immune system compromise. So effectively, it would require me to go over to the judge and try to ask them to release everyone from my jail so that we could practice social distancing as defined by several different governmental entities.
Empty out the jails. Gee, is that one of the leftist talking points? Let's empty out the jails so we have room for law-abiding citizens who are healthy and have to run their businesses. I wonder if you know this, Sheriff Steve Reams. Do you know whether the ACLU has filed an injunction against Governor Andrew Cuomo? Because he has 40% of all the coronavirus deaths in the entire country, and yet they want to run him for president. Why do you suppose they're coming after you when they love Andrew Cuomo?
Well, I mean, anyone who's paid any attention to the things I've said or done, I'm a vocal critic of
some of the stuff from the left, you know, red flag bills and releasing inmates based on a virus that, you know, we can treat them for inside of the jail. I'm not crazy. I don't go out on a limb and say things that that just don't make sense and aren't anchored in the Constitution. But I will push back whenever I think someone's trying to override our rights or override our need for safety. And apparently that draws the attention from certain groups. And so the ACLU has taken it upon themselves to come after me. I think one point of note, though, the courts yes. are the only ones that can release inmates from my jail. I can't make that determination. They're sentenced to my jail. They're assigned to my jail. I don't get the authority to just let people go. And all that being said, my inmate population is down dramatically because of what the courts have done, not by any attempt on my own. I mean, we're at one of the lowest numbers we've seen in probably a decade, but apparently that's not good enough.
No, it's not. Not when you've got coronavirus to push your agenda. We're going to get to red flag laws in just a minute because that's key to all of this, I think. I also find it crazy making and just, crazy. If you're not already crazy, you know, they say, where are you going? Crazy? Want to come? Is that the ACLU that used to care about rights and freedom and doing your own thing, they're not going out of their way to get after anybody for putting law-abiding citizens on house arrest. They're not getting after anybody to decide that, you know, a pot shop is essential, but a pipe shop isn't essential, that public transportation is essential, but driving your own car alone is not essential. They've been exposed as these subjective, selective outrage people that they always were. And it just adds insult to injury to go after a good sheriff like yourself. What's the legal defense to all this, and what's being done to the extent that you can tell us in order to fight this superfluous lawsuit? How your lawyer's going to fight it, and how can we support you?
You know, I think we're basically fighting it with facts. You know, we're showing all the steps we've taken as an agency. We were making preparations or started our preparations for dealing with coronavirus before there was even a confirmed case in the state of Colorado. So we started on February 27th. We've been taking a mountain of steps to get to the point where we're at today. And as you know, the data changes almost daily as to what you should or shouldn't do. But we've documented our steps. And instead of trying to prey on people's emotions and make some heartfelt plea for everyone's release, we're saying, hey, we're doing what's best in the means of public safety to ensure that the people inside the jail are safe, but also to ensure that the public is safe from the people in the jail. And I think at the end
we'll what a concept, huh? Your job. Well, yeah, that's your job.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we're doing the best we can in a jail environment. I mean, you know, it is a dense population area. We put people in close quarters because it's jail. But under that same guideline, we have medical staff that's on duty 24 hours a day. We have doctors here a lot of the times or always available. So, yeah, these people are getting better medical care than probably you or I would.
Probably so, Sheriff. And the other thing, it needs to be said or repeated, what I said in my monologue, and that is that Governor Jared Polis himself said in one of his numerous press conferences, as he was giving us motherly advice about, you know, don't go out, wash your hands, do this, do that, treat us like five-year-olds. He said, now, the thing is, 9 out of 10 people who test positive for the virus won't need any medical treatment at all, not even an aspirin. And
right.
yet, on the other hand, it's such a deadly virus that you have to let out all the prisoners from jail. Are people seeing the political motivations here? I think the reason people are going to come out and drive to the gridlock event on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock, or 2 o'clock. We're not sure. Ragtag grassrootsers, they don't know what time it is. It's either 1 or 2. I don't know. Once you start a gridlock, though, it pretty much goes till 4 or 5. so that's why people are coming out of their homes, because the common sense dictates that these people who are anointing themselves our betters and our dictators and our leaders are not paying attention to the facts on the ground. The facts have changed on the ground, and yet they're tightening the noose around our necks even more. With our couple minutes before a break, and then we're going to talk about red flag and coronavirus, in Weld County, in your jurisdiction, have you had any sheriffs who've actually arrested people, like someone in Colorado who was arrested? I know it wasn't your jurisdiction, for playing T-ball with his daughter and his wife in a park, in an empty park. That happened. That actually happened.
Yeah, we don't have any sheriffs that have done that, but I'm aware of a Brighton police officer that did that.
How do you like that?
You know, yeah, I've talked about that with several people, and it's troubling. And I think, you know, you have to give a little bit of deference to law enforcement. They're in a really tough spot right now. So we're getting calls for, hey, my neighbor's out, I don't think they're essential. You know, and kind of the way we look at it is our crime rate hasn't dipped at all. We have criminals that are out still doing the same things they were doing before coronavirus started. In fact, they may be doing a little more of it now. So we're busy enough. We don't have time to go monitor, you know, who should be at home and who shouldn't. These are all voluntary orders in the way that I see it. If someone, you know, if someone wanted to cause a huge rift and really make a problem and have a coronavirus party and intentionally try to spread the virus, you know, I can see where someone might want to get into a law enforcement situation. But that's totally different than what we're talking about. We're saying reasonable adults can make reasonable decisions, and that's probably what should be happening all along.
And so well said, Sheriff Steve Reams. The problem is, when you have corrupt and power-hungry officials, they are going to use the police and sheriff's office to do their dirty work, just as they wanted to do with the red flag bill. And these are the sheriffs that they hate and detest and undercut every chance they get. I mean, that's what's amazing, isn't it? That on the one hand, they tell you you're doing a lousy job and the sheriffs are racist, sexist, homophobes, and everything else. But then when they give you an unconstitutional order and you follow it and you start arresting people based on snitching, which is straight out of the old Soviet Union, suddenly you're their henchmen. You see how it works?
Oh, I totally understand it. Yeah, you know, we've been talking about that around the office here. You know, we're constantly the effort of reform. You hear police reform bills all the time, but then they'll pass a new law and expect us to go out and enforce it.
Yeah, it's so perfect. It's perfectly disgusting is what it is. We got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have more with Sheriff Steve Reams. He's going to talk about something he's an expert on, and that is fighting and speaking up against red flag bills and your Second Amendment rights. Karen Cataline, Karen Cataline, my own show, Spouting Off. We have a whole lot more. Stay tuned. This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening, and if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off. Welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your host. It's actually my show, Spouting Off. I've got to stop saying filling in because I fill in for a lot of people, and it's an honor to do so. It's also an honor to have Spouting Off my show here every Friday at noon Mountain, 2 p.m. Eastern, rebroadcast and broadcast live on many other stations around the country. We are talking to Weld County, Colorado Sheriff Steve Reams, who is a liberty lover and who understands when he took an oath of office that he protects the Constitution and law-abiding citizens. He works for us. That's why we love sheriffs. We do. And we love Steve Reams, too. We hope he's going to run for office when he's term limited out. That being said, Steve Reams, tell us about this egregious red flag bill. And there are red flag bills all over this country. But you made national news when you started speaking up about this law that they expected you to enforce. And of course, we've been distracted by coronavirus, but those red flag bill laws are still in effect in the state of Colorado. Tell us about where we are now with the red flag bill. I mean, apart from the fact that everybody's in their homes at the moment and working out of their home, as I am, and where we stand with all of that, because it's the same plan as we've had with the, they're doing the same thing, which is to use law enforcement to do their dirty, unconstitutional business.
Well, in the state of Colorado, you know, we passed the red flag law in the last legislative session. But since then, there's been a couple of, well, at least one other state, New Mexico, has jumped on board with a red flag law as well. But when you say the term red flag, that, you know, everybody just assumes that they're all the same, and that's really not the case. Colorado's red flag law version is probably the most aggressive. In fact, in my mind, it is the most aggressive version of a red flag law because of what it permits law enforcement to do, or what it asks law enforcement to do if they're involved in a red flag petition. And to summarize it, if someone goes to a judge or goes to a law enforcement agency and says, hey, I want to have my neighbor's guns taken away because I think they're a significant risk to themselves or others, and they can convince a judge of that either directly or with law enforcement's help by a preponderance of the evidence, then that judge can issue a temporary extreme risk protection order and a search warrant to law enforcement at the same time and say, go tell this person they're not allowed to have guns. Oh, yeah, and by the way, you can go in their house and forcibly take their guns. And the scariest part about all of this is the person who's being red flagged would never know any of this was occurring. And so as a law enforcement officer, when I look at that and I say, you want me to do what? I mean, it flies in the face of everything that our Constitution is set up to protect you from. I mean, we always talk about Second Amendment rights, but you've got Fourth Amendment issues, Fifth Amendment issues, 15th Amendment or 14th Amendment issues. I mean,
slow down and tell us what those are. Yeah, you've said that before. And in case people don't know, tell us what those are, because, you know, that's important. It's important that this does all of that and more, takes away due process, you name it. So the Fourth Amendment has to do with security in our homes and papers, right?
Right. So it's basically the idea that no one can come and search your home without a search warrant, and that search warrant is supposed to be based on probable cause. The problem is that probable cause usually is a term that's only used in criminal law. In this red flag order, they've redefined probable cause to mean that you are in fact who you say you are. You do in fact live where the person says you live. Oh, and you may in fact own a gun, and someone says you may have threatened to harm yourself or someone else with it. That's how probable cause gets defined in a nutshell in the red flag law, and that just makes zero sense because it's all still based on the person who's trying to red flag you, them reporting all of that information.
Yes. No, the credibility of that person is never questioned. And it should be said right here and now, which should make us laugh and cry at the same time, that somebody filed a red flag law on you. Did they not?
Right. The same person's actually filed it twice now. Earlier this week, I received a second petition from the same inmate. I said inmate because it's a guy that's sitting in my jail who's attempted to red flag me twice, claiming that he's a household member, which makes him a qualified person to file said petition. Luckily, this time the judge said, no, you're not a household member with the sheriff just because you reside in his jailhouse. So both of those have been dismissed, but you can see how the law gets, you know, how it gets misused. I mean,
yes.
Just the fact that anyone would try that tells you how open it is.
Just shows you. Plus, the complainant doesn't even have to appear in person. They can make a phone call from Cincinnati, Ohio, and they are believed. Have you noticed a pattern here with the same leftist, socialist, Soviet Union-style snitches? They write snitching into the law the same way that that people are being encouraged to snitch on their neighbors if they're not involved in an essential business deemed essential by the same corrupt politicians. It's just a beautiful racket they got going. They got nothing on the mafia, you know, because the mafia, I was talking to my husband about this, Steve. I'm a mafia geek. It's crazy. And it's like in the old days, a mafia guy would come up to a business owner and say, today's your lucky day because we're going to give you protection. The business owner says, what do you mean? What are you talking about? I don't need protection. I'm doing great. I'm making money. I'm feeding my family. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. He said, who do I need protection from? And he says, from us. And that's how it works. It's the same guys that are breaking your leg that are handing you the crutch and saying, we'll protect you.
Well, you know, I heard the mayor of L.A. made the same kind of comment that snitches get rewards. I was saying snitches get riches. Either way, you know, the concept is, tell on someone and, you know, better your life by making theirs miserable. So, yeah, the red flag law is no different. It's the same way. If you want to use it to weaponize it against your neighbor, you can certainly do that. I mean, you're a very outspoken person politically. You can see where that would have a profound profound impact on your First Amendment rights. If you and your neighbor were arguing about, you know, who was better, Trump or Obama, you know, that could definitely be weaponized against you.
Of course. And don't forget, and I know you know this because you are, you know, God, I wish I could clone you, Sheriff. And that is that people, that the same people that have our Second Amendment rights in the crosshairs, did you get that pun there?
I got you, yeah.
The First Amendment also are in the crosshairs. And if the truth be known, every single one of our Bill of Rights, in fact, among the many posts that I do on Facebook, was one that said that the governor of New Jersey, when Tucker Carlson asked him, did you think about the Bill of Rights at all? And he said, no, that wasn't in my mind. I wasn't thinking about that. I mean, he was so stupid, he didn't even realize that, hello, you took an oath to protect that. These people need to be slapped down. These people need a comeuppance, and it's called, it's the Constitution. In our couple of minutes left, what do you think about this new movement? I'm a fan of Gandhi, the movie, nonviolent resistance, not passive resistance, nonviolent resistance, civil disobedience through, and it's nonviolent, in which people stand up for their rights to feed their families and to say no. And on May 1st, and people can go, and you're letting me give a plug, mayday-colorado.com, mayday-colorado.com. People can go there, and they can print out the flyer, hand them out, go to their local gridlock event, whenever that's happening in your town, in your state. And the idea is we're taking back May Day, which used to be a socialist holiday. May Day is now Freedom Day for everyone to stand up and say, we're going to reopen our businesses. And guess what? You can't stop us. We don't need your permission. What do you think about that, Steve Reams, law enforcement officer of Weld County Sheriff's Office?
Well, I've said many times, I think the citizens will be the ones that decide when this lockdown is over. Because it does take that citizens are in agreement to stay home and do the things that are being asked of by their government right now. And, you know, if we were just getting the data that was being used to make these decisions for how long we're supposed to stay locked down. If we could see the same data that our governors are seeing, I think it might make a big difference, but we're not. And I understand people's frustrations, and I still think you have the right to peacefully assemble, and if that's what people choose to do, then I think they're going to do it. That's not going to be a priority of enforcement for my law enforcement agency, because, again, I think people have the right to go out and give their grievances to their government, and if that's the way that it's going to be done, then I think that, that's perfectly fine.
And they'll do it peacefully. You're kinder than I am, because I think there have been leftist, radical, activist governors who have been pushing a narrative based on false information for a while. They are looking at the numbers ratcheted down. They are looking at a 0.006 nationwide death rate, less than the seasonal flu. And yet they continue to tell us how dangerous, dangerous, dangerous it is, and you're killing people if you walk outside your door. If you go for a walk in the park without a mask on. Sheriff Steve Reams, I'm sorry we are just about out of time. You got a final word for us before we wrap this show up?
I guess the last thing I would say is that, people need to be mindful of their rights, and when you start giving those things away, it's very hard to get them back, whether that's red flag or stay-at-home orders or whatever it is. You got to protect those things.
Well, and we welcome you speaking out, standing up, and standing up for the people that you represent and keeping them safe. Sheriff Reams, you are a gem. We love you, and we want to clone you. So hopefully science will get to the point where we can clone you. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you. So that just about wraps it up here. Please, everyone, go to mayday-colorado.com. www.mayday.mayday-colorado.com. Take that flyer, tweak it as you see fit, and let's take our country back. We don't need permission. And that wraps it up for this week. Thank you so much to Doug, my producer, and to HW, the guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there will be oh so much to talk about here on Spouting Off.